Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Awesome. It is good to see everybody in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for everyone that's joining online. So we're in this series called Then Sings My Soul. So the song that I chose for this series was Fred Hammond, You Are the Living Word. It is a very powerful song to me. Can we pull up the song real quick so we can see the lyrics that are in the song? So here's the lyrics. I'm not going to sing them. I know you want me to, but I'm not going to. But I might do a little hum or a melody. So here's the song. So it says, bread of life sent down from glory, many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, you are the living word. Bread of heaven sent down from glory, many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, you are the living word. Can we get the next slide? Sent down from glory, many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, you are the living word. Awesome ruler, gentle redeemer, God with us, the living truth, what a friend we have in you. You are the living word. Is there another slide or is that it?
That's it.
Okay, so perfect. Now, the reason that I chose this song is because this is one of the songs that, for me, it rings so much truth and it's so rooted in the word of God. You can find a bunch of scriptures in the word that this song actually has in it. So, this song for me, so when you talk about like, when people just say, hey man, you know, life be lifing. Like, so for me, when life be lifing, it's a gentle reminder of where am I at right now? Why are things getting out of whack? I need to kind of just come back to where God wants me. And it allows me to just, when I listen to this song, it allows me to like reset and also, figure out what the actual purpose is that I'm trying to achieve, or what God is trying to achieve for me in this moment. So the parts about the song that I really love is the part where it talks about bread of heaven, sent down from glory, the holy king, and the living word, and also the redeemer. Now, we're going to go through those four parts. We're going to break them down, and we're going to see in the word of God what the actual word of God says about those four parts. So we're going to start with bread of heaven. This is part one, so it's going to be John 6:33. You'll see it on the screen. So it says, for the bread of God is the bread that came down from heaven and gives life to the world. John 6:35 also says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So now I'm going to ask you a question. Like, what's some of y'all's like favorite types of bread? So just think about that, right? Like, what's like some of the favorite types of breads that you have? So what? So I think about breads, right? I think about croissants, you got white bread, you got wheat bread, you got baguettes, you got brioche, you got bagels, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And there's some breads that I can't even pronounce the names of them, right? But for me personally, what I enjoy croissants and I enjoy brioche. So croissants are like in the morning, right? Can't really eat croissants like throughout the day. It's like kind of weird just eating a croissant in the afternoon or the evening. It's like it's just strange to me, you know? Croissant to me is always like just breakfast, right? And then when I think about brioche, it's like, man, I can't remember the first time I had a brioche bun, but it's like, man, if I eat a sandwich or if it's a burger or something, it's got to be on brioche. I can't eat it on anything else. I'm like, I don't want nothing else. Make sure it's brioche. Sabrina knows we buy brioche. So then I have another question is, who loves the bake in here? That's good. Got a few hands up there. Okay. And then also, who just enjoys like freshly baked bread, right? A lot of the room, right? So when I think about like freshly baked bread, I think about restaurants like, now, We're going to go back, right? I'm going to go back. I haven't really been to Olive Garden in a long time, but I do remember Olive Garden used to have some of the best bread, right? Outback, Texas Roadhouse, that's just to name a few places that I've been where I've actually enjoyed the bread. And when I'm thinking about the bread, you know when they bring the bread to the table, it's nice and warm. You get that knife, put a little bit of butter on it, you start slicing through the bread, and you know how soft and how easy that bread is? It just like, whew, it just, the knife just cuts right through it. And then you're enjoying it, right? And then the first thing you start thinking is, oh man, I can't eat too much bread because when the entree comes, I'm not going to be able to have any, I'm not going to be able to eat my entree, right? But Jesus is the same way, right? He's so soft, so easy. Like, he's like the bread. And the funny part is, instead of you saying like, oh no, I don't want the entree, it's like, no, give me the bread, because he said you will not thirst, you won't be hungry. He's going to fill you up with that bread, and his bread is the word of God. So what is the spiritual meaning of bread? So Jesus compared himself to bread. He can sustain our spiritual life. We need physical food to survive. Felicia talked about the water last week and how important it was for us to stay spiritually hydrated. While we can survive without water or without food for a period of time, we need both to sustain a balanced and a healthy life. So the same is needed for our spirits. So we must create that relationship with Jesus first, right? Then we invite the Holy Spirit on board. And as the Holy Spirit is on board, in order for him to do his thing, and in order for us to build our spirit man up, we have to feed our spirit. So we've got to feast on that bread. And it all starts with like faith and trust in the word of God that it's going to work in your life. So how do we build that trust? So a coach builds trust by consistently listening, showing respect, and following through on the commitments. Trust shows when players see that a coach communicates honestly, treats everyone fairly, and supports both their development and well-being. This is how we should feed our spirit. All Jesus wants us to do is to show up. That's all he's asking for us, is just show up. And we can show up in prayer. We can show up by communing with him every day, by trusting him at his word, reading and understanding the Bible, and then putting those things into practice in our lives, fasting, and abstaining from temptation. Now, that's the hard part right there, right? Abstaining from temptation. And you're like, well, what's really temptation? Temptation can be anything that is keeping you away from being in God's presence. So in order for us to be in God's presence, we have to resist the temptation so that we can hear what God is asking us to do for his glory, right? So what does the Bible say about his glory? So John 1:14, can we get that up here? So it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from Father, full of grace and truth. So I like to think about what I just read. I like to think about the Bulls, right? The Chicago Bulls. We all know about the Chicago Bulls. We know who they were back in the 90s, right? So I like to think about Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson, right? They won 3 in a row. Then Jordan left. What happened? No, but when Jordan left, they didn't get back there, right? They didn't get to the finals. Y'all don't know the Bulls, man. I thought y'all knew the Bulls. So then when Jordan came back, what happened? They ran all 3 more again, right? So Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson, they needed each other. They never lost the finals together. And what they did was they won a championship for Chicago, and they brought glory to Chicago, right? So God knew the same thing was going to happen to us. So we were created in God's image. We were created, like Shawnee said this morning, to worship God, to be with God, right? And somehow, some way down the road, we got distracted and we got separated from God, right? So God knew that he was going to have to send Jesus because we as humans in our flesh, we weren't going to be able to keep the laws that he wanted us to keep, nor were there going to be enough animals to sacrifice to keep the laws, which leads me to Moses, right? So Moses was appointed by God. He was appointed by God to lead the Israelites, and he led them out of captivity. They were in the wilderness wandering for 40 years, and because of the constant disobedience, Moses never made it to the promised land, right? But I think about that image when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and he had a tablet here and a tablet there, right? Five commandments here, five commandments there. And as he was coming down, what did the word say? His face was glowing, right? Glowing from the glory of God. And even though he came down and he was in all of his glory from God, he could not save the people of Israel, right? All he could offer them was the law. Because Moses didn't have the authority to save anybody. He wasn't the Savior. But when Jesus came down, came out of glory, down here, he was already filled. And it said earlier, we read it in, what was that? That was 6:30. That was John 1:14. There we go. So he had already said that. So he said that when he came down, he was already filled with grace and truth. He was already perfect. He had the authority to save people. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that leads me right into Revelations 19:16, when it talks about on his robe and his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hebrew 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing souls and spirits, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So Jesus is the word, right? The word is in the Bible and are the living truth. And the living things, and all living things, even the demons, must obey the word of God. This is why when we speak to something that's going on in our lives, we say, in the name of Jesus. Just like Ryan did this morning before he came up and prayed. He prayed, in the name of Jesus, these things shall be removed. So we have to speak those things because right now, there's a little thing going around called manifesting, right? Have y'all heard about that? People are like sitting here and manifesting things into their life. And that is a trick of the enemy to get you to think that you are doing all of these things in your life, that you're speaking these things into your life. And we know what happens when you start thinking that you are doing things in your life. That pride starts to rise up. That boastfulness in you starts to rise up. And what does the word say about that? Pride comes before the fall. So we need to make sure that we are rooted in Jesus first and that our heart is pure. Because only through the blood and the power of Jesus can we speak to things in our life. But when we speak to those things, we have to do it through Jesus. It's not Earl, it's not Shawnee, it's not Mary, it's not Sabrina. It's not Corey, it's not Ryan, it's not anybody but Jesus that is going to move those things in our life. So let's talk about that redeemer part, right? Because Jesus can redeem. So I have a question for you when it comes to your faith. Is the door open for you? Is it closed for you? Or is it cracked? So Galatians 6:13 says, not even those who are circumcised keep the law, right? Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet, they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. So this is an interesting text because circumcision was representing, it represented like filth to like remove sin from the body. If you were circumcised, they were thinking like, oh, you're free from sin. Like, you don't have any sin. But if you're uncircumcised, they're like, oh, you're full of sin. Now, that's a tradition that the Jews had, right? So when Paul was speaking to, I can't even say the word, man, the people of Galatia, there we go. he was telling them that, hey, whether you're circumcised or you're not circumcised, like, that's not the point. Jesus Christ is the point. So if you put your faith and trust in him and you accept him, then you will be saved and your sins will be removed, right? And as Paul was talking about later in that text, when he got down to like verse 15, he was talking about how we were created into like a new creation, right? So 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17, I'm paraphrasing this though. It talks about, but if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation and the old things are passed away. And everything has become new. Every time we open our eyes on this side of glory, we have the opportunity to be redeemed by Christ. In Isaiah 44:22, you pull up that slide for me? All right. It says, I have swept away your offense like a cloud, your sin like the morning mist to return to me, for I have redeemed you. Now think about that, right? You know how when the temperature is like hot and cold, and then next thing you know, there's a bunch of fog and mist outside, and the minute the sun starts to come up, what happens to the fog and the mist? Bow, gone, right? That's how it is with Jesus. Once you accept him, sins are gone. He forgot about everything you've done before, but that doesn't mean that we got a free pass and a right to just do whatever we want, because we could fall right back into that, and then we'll be right back asking for forgiveness. So we just want to make sure that we're operating from a pure heart, right? And we're doing everything that Jesus is calling us to do. So where you've been or what you've done, it doesn't define who and what you are. There's always redemption in Jesus. So I have a story for you. So when I was in my 20s, I can't remember the exact age, but I was in my 20s, and I was having like some problems in life, right? I grew up in the church. I knew what I should have been doing. And then when I was 18, I was given the option to say, you can continue to go or you cannot go. You know what option I took? Bam! I'm out the door. I'm running. I'm like going out into the world. Like, I want to see what's going on in the world, right? So I'm out here just living my life, running around, doing everything not biblically that you're supposed to be doing, right? Just anything I can do under the sun, I'm doing it, right? And I got into a situation. I had two kids out of wedlock, and trying to take care of two kids out of wedlock, having a job that at the time was, we were going like through this, like, they were like, it was like this remodel, and it was the first of the kind in the company, and I was at the store where they were doing it, and I mean, when I say there was a lot of stress on me, I was stressed out from just the expectation that they had and then not having the support that I felt I needed to have, right? Because what am I doing? I'm looking to man for all of my support and everything to happen the way that it's supposed to do. I'm looking at man, right? So I'm like, I'm starting having these issues. Now I'm like, I'm in my 20s, right? I'm like, man, I'm having chest pains. And I'm like talking about chest pains around here on the left side of my chest. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, I'm having chest pains. I'm having stomach pains. I'm going to the doctor. I probably went to the doctor like 3 times. You know what they told me? Hey, nothing's wrong with you. Went back a second time. Hey, nothing's wrong with you. I go back and I say, man, something's wrong. Give me an EKG or something. So I'm 20 years old on an EKG machine. And they was like, yeah, your heart's fine, sir. I was like, man, what is wrong with me? I remember one day I was talking to my mother, and I was like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I was like, I'm just having all these issues. And she was like, she's like, boy, you need Jesus. I was like, man, sure, Mom, right. And went back to doing what I was doing, and things just weren't getting better, right? So one day, just out the blue, I woke up and I just had the desire to just go to church, right? So I was like, let me just go to church. I'm gonna sit in the back. I ain't gonna say nothing. I'm gonna go late because I really don't want to go, right? I'm just gonna slide in, sit in the back, and then when it's over, I'm gonna peel out, right? So it's amazing what God does in those moments, right? By you just taking a simple step that you thought that nothing was gonna happen, right? So I get to the church, I'm sitting in the back, and I'm just like, I'm listening to the word, and man, it was just piercing my heart so much. Like, and I just felt the tug from the Lord that just saying, come back to me, come back to me. So yeah, I stood up and they did an altar call at the end of service, and I rededicated my life to the Lord, right? So that's what I was saying about how Jesus can redeem us even in those moments where we don't even think that we are going to be redeemed or we want to be redeemed. He is always waiting for us. He's at the door, always just waiting for us to open it and walk through to accept him. So my bottom line for today is Jesus is the living truth. Jesus is the bottom line. Amen.